This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It is Wednesday. It is the 27th of March, 2024. Coming up today, more of your feedback as we dive into the inbox. Whee!
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Priest.
Oh, you know it's going to be a good one when you're laughing at yourself before we even begin.
Shall we promise never to do that again? That was so weird. How are you?
Oh, dear. I was watching on the Samsung TV, right? I've got this Samsung TV. I've mentioned it before. It's like a monitor, but it's also got the smarts of TV built in as well. But they've got all these TV channels on there. I didn't realize this. The Samsung TV Plus. There's tons and tons and tons of yes. TV channels. And I was going through them because I was like, oh, hang on. There's a Deal or No Deal channel. It just shows Deal or No Deal all day long.
Hang on. Wait right there, sir. Is that the UK version or the American version?
Or the American version.
Forget it. Oh, it's too...
American?
It's too dazzly. Yeah, it's far too...
Careful.
I mean, yes. It's not the same as ours. Ours is just some... people in a warehouse with cardboard boxes in front of them. It's more down to earth.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's so funny because the show starts and there's like dancers that come on and they do this whole routine. And I'm thinking, in ours, we just have a lot of people. It's actually the contestants. It's not models that are holding the boxes. It's just the contestants.
It's desperate
almost get
people
picked off.
In a hotel, yes. It's
yeah, exactly.
I like it.
That's right. welcome to life in Britain. Anyway, so I want to kick off with a clarification because we don't normally do it. I don't think we've even got something appropriate to play for this. We'll use this one. There we go. That'll do.
Hang on, we got something wrong?
Well, we didn't, but our good friend, and I'm going to let him off because he's had a busy couple of weeks. Michael Babcock was on with us talking all about the Orbit Reader Q40. Hang on.
Got something wrong.
Another clarification. Breaking news. We were talking about the Orbit Reader Q40, and you might remember that Michael had said it had 48 cells, and we kind of queried him on this at the time, but he said, no, he says it's got 48 cells. Matthew Horspool, good friend of the show as well, and someone you know very well, and as do I, he's got in touch to say, just to be very clear on this, it has got 40, not 48 cells on it. So just wanted to clarify that. He says it does sound like when you're saying... when you use it with speech, when you use the
48 cells,
it'll sound yeah, exactly. Cells. It sounds like 48 cells, but it's 40 cells with speech.
Yes,
and it's interesting because Michael came back to me with an email last night saying, "You see, this is why you need an Orbit Reader Q40 because then you can read the information yes. as opposed to listening to it." It kind of almost proves its own point why you need these devices. But just wanted to clarify that for Michael. He said a very busy time, so no doubt at all. He's a little bit tired.
It's fine. Yes, of course. 48 dot cells, I'm assuming it reads. But yes, we did think
exactly.
that was strange at
That's
the time,
right?
But yeah. Okay. No problem.
I never use the 8 dot cell. I mean, I maybe some people can see value in it. And I think maybe as you get further into using a Braille display, maybe it'll become useful to me. But at the moment, it's not. I just feel it gets in the way because I'm constantly trying to not do that thing when you're learning Braille of kind of rubbing the cells, kind of going, is that an S?
How
is that a T?
Dare you, sir? That's what I am, a cell rubber.
You're a cell rubber.
And I'm not ashamed of it. I don't feel any guilt. That's how I'm learning at the minute. And yes, I think I've set mine to 6-dot Braille. But also, though, it does, the 8 cells come up like for the cursor. Excuse me. The cursor position, right? Little flashing cursor position. That's on the dot 7 and 8, right?
Yes, that's right.
So that's still,
right.
I mean,
can be useful.
Yeah, yes, it's very useful. So, yes.
Says you, who didn't even know what the cursor routing keys were for.
Whoa. What I was doing there, Stephen Scott, was being the everyman. Let's not assume that everyone knows what cursor routing keys are. You see? You see what I did there? That was very good of me.
You didn't have a clue what they
no,
were.
No, I didn't. No, sorry. There's no such thing as a silly question. It's fine.
Absolutely not. Listen, let's move on because we've got lots to talk about today. I'm not going to get into too much chat around Apple announcing WWDC.
Why not?
Although Well, you know, there's not much to say other than Apple announced WWDC. Four? There you go.
When?
It's going to be June 10th to June 14th. So that
14th.
Means June 10th is the day that we're all interested in. You know, yeah. I have to be honest. Yeah. Developers are interested in the other stuff. And, you know, all right, calm down.
I'm dancing.
You know, it was funny. Thank you. And I was also interested to read so many people excited about the Vision Pro. I don't know. I'm kind of losing interest in this product.
I don't know what's happened to you today, Stephen Scott. I'm disappointed and ashamed of you. What are you talking about?
Well, just
Hang on, is it just a
personal thing?
Why are people excited? What excitement are you talking about at the minute?
Well, excitement around the development, because obviously this year they're going to talk more about the development opportunities that it has. They'll be opening up more things. The only thing I would say I'm interested in hearing about from Vision Pro's perspective is the opening up of the cameras to developers.
It's exactly what I was going to bring up in our recent YouTube video. We spoke to the developer of Roboco, is it called?
Roboca. Not easy to say, but yeah.
Sorry, yes, Roboca. And that app. And she confirmed that developers don't have access to the front-facing cameras of the Vision Pro, which I think is a major issue and totally kills my interest in it.
Just to say as well, another pickup, just so you're aware, Troy Attilio, CEO of Aira, was on with us, along with Janine Stanley, of course, from Aira. We were talking about the Access AI. I see a lot of conversation online about concerns around privacy. That's maybe why you should go revisit that conversation. If you've only listened to some of it, you might want to go and listen to the rest, because we do get into quite a bit of detail about this, and we do query specifics around how your data will be used. I think it's something that a lot of us have wondered about, especially considering Aira, they sell the product on the basis of privacy and security of your data. So how does that work in an AI world? And Troy and Janine have some really interesting answers, and I think will help to relax some people on that. Maybe not everyone, but certainly for, you know, the less conspiracy theory conscious, I think you'll be fine, because they did answer that question, and I thought they answered it very well. So yeah, check that out. And just to say as well, before we move into emails, a little programming note. Of course, it's the Easter weekend coming up, so Good Friday will not have a show on Good Friday. In fact, Thursday will be our last show until Monday. If you're listening via the podcast on AMI Audio, you'll hear some interesting content. Chance to listen to some, I'm just getting the words right here. I'm trying.
Some Double Tap classics.
Double Tap. Revisiting the archive. A little bit of that going on at the weekend. So check that out. But on the podcast, our final show's Thursday, and then we're taking the long weekend. We'll be back, though, on Monday with a brand new show. So don't worry, we will have that for you on Monday, the usual time on the podcast. And of course, there's content going out over the weekend as well on YouTube. You can check all that out at youtube.com/@DoubleTapVideo. I think I've covered all bases.
You are such a professional, Stephen Scott. That was amazing. Thank you. A long weekend. Well, I want Monday off as well. That's a long weekend.
Well, you can have Monday off, and you can have Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Okay,
and the rest
sorry.
Of your no,
it's
life.
Fine. Friday's fine. Thank you. Happy Easter.
Email. We get emails. Get your email every day.
Oh, every day.
Here's your mail today.
Emails, voicemails. That's not easy to say.
Stephen's tone there is actually meant to be happy rather than, we get emails every day. We love your emails. Thank you so much. And of
yes,
course,
we do.
Thank you to the amazing Laura for taking the hardship out of our own eyes, trying to squint and read them. And making an amazing job at reading the emails. Thank you, Laura. We love you.
She is. She is an absolute star. We could not do this show without her. We couldn't do it either.
No.
It would be impossible
be
to do and do. It's a female deer, isn't it? Anyway, moving on to the emails. Johnny is our first email up, read by Laura.
Good afternoon, Stephen and Sean. As I've said before, and I will say again in the future, I love the show.
Oh.
I'm 43 years old and have had vision issues my entire life. Like most of us, my vision was stronger when I was younger and has greatly diminished as I've gotten older. Until recently in my life, I did not have much contact with others with low or no vision. And until just last year, I had not met another person with my particular eye condition. I'm sorry, Laura, but here I want to mention the Choroideremia Research Foundation for anyone else like myself looking for others to network with. My parents did not know how to help a child with low vision, so I was treated as though I did not have any vision issues and tried my best for many years to function as though I did not have any vision issues. Needless to say, it made things more difficult as my vision diminished and did not prepare me well for the challenges later in life. All that being said, I wanted to let you know, as I do enjoy the tech aspect of the show, I think I more enjoy getting to listen to two regular guys talking about daily life and experiences through the perspective of someone who understands what I have and am going through. So many times as I am listening to you talk about what you experienced yesterday or what happened last week, and I will find myself saying, usually to myself but sometimes out loud, me too. My wife does not have any vision issues and she helps out as she can, but at the end of the day she does not understand, and there is nothing wrong with that. But I find your show comforting and, dare I say, even therapeutic to listen to, and I thank you for that and say, do not change a thing. Nonetheless, now on to business, if I may ask two questions. First, what type of cane tips do you prefer? I know this may come as a shock, but in my younger days, I really resisted using a cane. When I finally relented, the first cane I was introduced to had a large rolling ball tip, which I promptly refused to use since in my infinite wisdom, I reasoned that the large red ball would draw even more attention to the cane. So from then on, for years, I've been using a rolling marshmallow tip. However, recently I gave the rolling ball tip another shot and think I may prefer it. It does add weight to the cane, but I find I am now getting used to that additional weight. Just curious of your preferences. Second question relates to non-tech sunglasses. I do enjoy going for a walk when the weather permits, listening to my favourite AMI podcast or current audiobook, and I find even with the sunglasses I currently have, I am needing to squint until my eyes are almost closed because the sun is just too bright. Now, at the time I got my sunglasses from my local optometrist, they were the darkest tint they had available, and these particular ones have little bits that magnetically attach to the arms right by the lenses to block the peripheral sunlight. I do have some usable vision, so I'm not looking for completely blackout that you cannot see through, but I do rely on my cane probably about 85% of the time when I am out walking. However, I would like to go for a walk without having to squint and get a headache. Looking for any suggestions for non-tech sunglasses others in my situation may have found that they liked. Not sure where to find sunglasses that have very, very dark tint but are not black and that also account for blocking peripheral sunlight. Maybe either of you or a listener can suggest a retailer or a specific brand or style online I can check out. Thanks, Laura, for reading my long-winded email. Johnny P. from Michigan.
Johnny, thank you so much for that email. It means a lot. And
it does.
I'm glad that we're helping you just with our nonsense and our talk, because I think it is so difficult, you know, and it's so difficult with friends and family who, you know, mean well, but they just don't quite get it. And that's I think why Sean and I especially kind of got together the way we did.
Yeah,
clicked in that way, because it's very difficult when people outside of the bubble, you try and talk about it. Everyone always tries to make everything good again. You know, it's, oh, it'll be fine and it's not that bad, and, you know, there are people worse off and all the usual stuff. And it just gets a little bit tiresome, because sometimes you just want a bit of a rant about something, or you just want to hear, oh yeah, I get that, or here's a solution to that, actually. That's the other thing. You know, sometimes you get someone saying, oh, I could do that. And it's like, oh, and you know, it's funny, no matter what it is, especially around tech, if I read or hear or see or whatever it is, a blind person talking about something, say it's an app or it's a piece of tech or whatever it is, I'm always interested. I'm like, oh, this I'm interested in. Even if it's something I'll never use, I'm interested in it, because I know that that person is in the same boat I'm in. So it knows, for example, it works with VoiceOver or works with JAWS or works with whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just gives it that credibility, but it makes it interesting to me. You know, if a sighted friend says, oh, I just downloaded this new thing and it's great, immediately in your head you're playing that game of, yeah, but is it going to work for me?
Yeah.
And it kind of brings you down a little bit. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault at all that can happen.
Yes, other people are terrible.
Yes, I agree. People are terrible. Aren't they terrible?
Sometimes it's just nice to know that what you're feeling isn't weird, or, you know, it's not unique to you. So, for example, the resistance of the cane. I think, you know, lots of us go through that. I know I did. And it, just because you went through that, it doesn't mean there's anything extra wrong with you. It's a natural thing. Talking of which, and I'm going to put my hands up again and talk about a silly question, because I honestly, I'm not that au fait with tips. There's so many different tips I see out there, and the only one I've ever used is the roller ball tip. So I'd be very interested to know more about this. We need a tip expert.
Yeah, I think we should get someone on actually to talk about this, maybe from CNIB or some organization. It'd be good to get somebody to come on and talk about this. I would recommend, see, I personally, Johnny, I use the jumbo roller ball with high mileage option, by the way.
Oh, go for that low mileage. Not that rubbish.
Yeah. I want one that goes further. For a guy who goes nowhere, I want the furthest possible distance capability. It means I can buy one for the rest of my life.
How big is a jumbo one? The one on mine is like small, just a bit smaller than a tennis ball size. So how big is a jumbo?
I was going to say bigger than a golf ball.
Yes.
It's kind of, it's a little bit bigger than a golf ball, I would say.
Okay. Because I've seen some the size of like a mini football. I've seen some.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, exactly that. For people who have joint issues, I think I was told the reason for that. So they don't get stuck in, you know, cracks and whatever.
That's exactly why I went down the route of the jumbo ball, because the roads around here are so bad and the pavements are bad. And, you know, you get these issues where, you know, it gets caught. And it's funny, you notice the problem more when the ball is needing replaced, because it's worn away so much. And, you know, mine's at the minute may as well be a mushroom because it's so worn away. So the mushroom tip is smaller, and I struggle with it. It depends on the type of cane technique you use, though, Johnny, because if you do the tap-tap, or the, what do they call it? Is that what they call it? That's probably not the right name.
That's exactly the technical term, tap-tap.
But it's exactly that. You're tapping. Two-touch, I think they call it. Two-touch cane. My wife is an expert on this stuff. She'd know more than me. She'd have her on here. But she would tell me. But basically, two-point technique, I think they call it, where you tap-tap, basically. Or you can use the rollerball where you kind of, you know, just basically pull-drag the rollerball from left to right. That's what I do. I prefer that. I prefer the cane to be in constant contact with the ground. So that's my choice. And for me, I've always found that I can't imagine doing that with a mushroom, especially with the state of the roads.
Yeah,
I would constantly be having the cane jab into me. So that wouldn't work for me. But there are lots of choices. The high mileage thing is interesting because you basically get it. It's got a different kind of material and it lasts longer. It's a little bit more expensive by a few dollars. It's not much, but it does make the difference, and it does last longer.
It's
it certainly does.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it's worth it. I mean, you just make them all like that. I don't know why. It's a bit like,
why would you have a rubbish concrete one? Yeah. And how about the sunglasses? Now, you are a sunglasses wearer. For the longest time, actually. I'm just starting to get into this. So I would say what we're talking about is the, what are they called? Are they called sun blockers or light blockers? The ones that actually wrap around, and you're talking about the peripheral guards that clip onto the side. I would have thought that the vision organizations would be the best place for those.
Yeah, if you've got, you're in Michigan, so I don't know the local associations, but if you have a local blindness organization that you can contact. This is, again, some of the issues with blindness organizations versus low vision organizations. This is where they could come together a bit more, because blindness organizations will talk about, you know, long cane training, or they'll talk about braille and that kind of thing, but they won't talk about anything relating to any remaining vision. That can be a challenge. For me, I think I have never really found, if I'm honest, Johnny, I've never really found a perfect pair of sunglasses, because my vision fluctuates so much during the day. There are some days I feel I need light, some days where I cannot even open my eyes to see the light, and other days where I'm kind of in between, and that goes through the course of a day. So I could honestly have four or five different pairs of sunglasses at different strengths and use them through the course of a day. So I think it's very dependent on your vision level. One thing I tried years ago, never really tried since. You know those ones you get, the different colours?
What, like blue blockers and things like that?
Yeah, there's like yellow ones, and there's all these different types of colours, and they're intended. And again, you should go to a vision specialist for this, because they would be able to find the one that works best for you. The good thing is that wraps right around your head as well. So, you know, in some cases it might be only like a yellow light. Didn't really work for me, but again, it's very individual, so it might be ideal for you. It might be better than sunglasses, because it kind of neutralizes the sunlight and gives you that constant light at all times. That's quite good. That's one option.
Sounds like Johnny's really struggling with bright sunlight, though. That's why he wants to go as dark as possible.
Even with some of these glasses, though, it can help neutralize the sunlight, but give you enough light if you want to have, or, you know, can benefit from a little bit of remaining vision.
Okay, yeah. Like
it's that middle point. You want to find the middle point between almost neutralizing the sunlight and being able to still see something. Because if you wear sunglasses that are so dark, it can actually, I think it has an impact on you. I find sometimes I don't feel comfortable at all because I feel like I'm almost just going to, I may as well just wear a blindfold. Sleep shades. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes that's just to make you feel more comfortable. When I took the dog out this morning, I walked the entire walk with my eyes closed and I was self-conscious of it. So maybe it's just almost a masking thing at that point.
Doesn't that make you tired though? Did you not get tired with that?
My eyes were just sore this morning, actually. It was just, I couldn't lock on to anything. So it was just a case of it felt more comfortable actually to walk with my eyes closed. But, I would strongly suggest you get in contact with whatever local sight loss organization you've got, because especially if you are interested in the total blackout, if you like, the wraparound style. I use Chopper, which are biker sunglasses, because they do that. They wrap around. But as a RP'er, it doesn't really matter anymore. But I didn't have any peripheral vision anyway, so it wasn't so much of a big deal for me. But I know lots of people suffer and they want it totally blocked out.
And, you know, I know some people, it was funny, someone contacted me once and said, you mustn't use the word suffer. You know, I have to say, you've got to be careful there, because suffer is a word I would use. And especially when I talk about bright light, because it is painful for me.
Bright light.
Might be the same for you, Johnny, but it can get actually quite painful. And so for me, yeah, I do suffer it, actually. I don't enjoy it.
It's just a turn of phrase. Let's not get hung up by it.
Yeah, but some people get very hung up on these things. I just like to clarify it because I don't want people getting the wrong idea. But equally, you know, I think my thing is always very much the words we use are very dependent on the individual. There's not really a simple one answer to this. You know what I mean? It's not like we can say, well, you know, therefore, you know, we can't use this word because it doesn't apply. Well, it might apply. That's the
point. It's all context.
Anyway,
it's fine.
Getting into that.
thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. As always, great to hear from anybody who finds this show in any way useful and whatever we do, whatever this is. But I'm really glad you're there. And just stay with us. We'll hopefully get you through and... just keep in touch. Keep in touch, Johnny.
Yeah.
Let's move on, because I have an email here from Kamal, I think this is. Laura reads the email.
Hello, Sean. I highly recommend the Brother printers. Whether you buy a mono laser printer or a colour laser printer from Brother, you can't go wrong. I've been using Brother printers for almost 12 years. They run like a charm. When you get your printer, you install the drivers and it will guide you through the setup. Also, the printer has a web interface, which is 90% accessible. Good luck, by the way. Hello, Stephen.
Oh.
Kamal.
Hello, Kamal.
An afterthought, Stephen Scott there. Thank you so much. And a quick breaking news update on that, because last night I actually hit the buy now button and purchased a Brother HL2400 laser printer. Black and white. Yep. Actually, it wasn't too expensive at all. It's only a compact one. No scanning, no faxing, no copying, nothing like that. Just pure printing. But it's a small printer, and I just hear such amazing things about Brother printers. So, yeah, I went for it. So I'll let you know. It's arriving tomorrow.
That's it. After a nuclear war, cockroaches and Brother printers will be the only things like cockroaches will be able to print out anything they want in that world.
I hope so.
We'll never find out, but they will. 8 out of 10 cockroaches.
You keep trying
printers.
To bring this show down, don't you?
I really don't, but I seem to manage it pretty well. Okay, moving on. Cece, you remember Cece had talked about the idea of a cane, a different kind of, or more hard-wearing cane, and he was saying instead of investing all this money and effort into creating smart canes, let's come up with something else, something much more durable. Well, he's back with more thoughts on this.
G'day, folks. It's Cece again. Just thinking about this cane business, if someone was going to spend the price of a cell phone, which I would guess would start at least around $400 or more for some kind of electronic, digital, laser, vibrating travel aid, I wonder if they might be better off paying an orientation and mobility instructor for a few hours of their work, which probably wouldn't cost that much, but getting some good orientation and mobility might make all the difference. And then you could just use whatever piece of old hockey stick you could find around to make your way.
Okay.
Thanks for the show, and I appreciate your tolerating my limited ranting.
Oh, not at all, CC. I'm all in on that.
We appreciate it. We don't tolerate it, though. Absolutely fantastic.
No, absolutely.
That's a good point, though, actually. Are we looking for tech to solve problems which actually could be solved with better training? Because I do see I've never, ever had any training, right? And it shows, as you often point out to me, Stephen Scott.
Yes.
But I know some people who always blow me away with their mobility skills, you know, with far less vision than I've got, which is practically zero anyway. It always blows me away. And I always think, is that purely down to confidence? But could it be, actually? It's down to training.
Well, you said something interesting there. You said we are looking for solutions. We're not looking for these solutions. This has been my point since day one.
Okay.
I don't think we are looking for solutions. I don't see anything wrong with the cane or the dog. Now, look, I'm all for new technology. I'm all for trying new things. I'm all for great ideas. But you know, the idea that we're looking for a solution to the cane is just the wrong approach for me. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think CC is on the money on this. You know, this is about developing something potentially like cane into a new area. You know, I mean, the all-terrain cane immediately comes to mind from a werewolf. And you'll hear a bit more about them on our CSUN wrap-up we do with Michael on YouTube. We'll be doing that soon. And you'll maybe get a chance to get a bit more information because they were at CSUN and we got a chance to catch up with them. So I think that there's an opportunity for that kind of technology to progress, and I'd be all for that, and strengthening up the white cane, essentially. But this idea that we're out looking for a replacement, nah, I'm not keen on this.
I'm not saying a replacement. I'm saying we're looking for a solution. That 10-yard problem is always there. And we are looking for a solution for that. GPS gets us so far.
The smartphone will give us that solution. If it isn't doing it yet for you, it will eventually. I think there is a bigger question, though, and you're right. I think there's a bigger question around the skills we have. I remember someone talking to me and saying, well, what happens? You're going on about tech all the time and GPS apps and, you know, LiDAR scanners and how they can be used to navigate. But what happens when your phone dies? You know, you cannot be in a situation where you're not able to get from A to B if you don't have a phone in your hand. And I think that's a really valid point, actually.
Yeah.
You do need these skills. You need the O&M skills. Now, that's not all on us either. There are reasons why some of us are not getting the support. In your case in particular, I think it's just a lack of resources from local councils, governments. They're just not investing in this. And I don't actually think, if I'm honest, I don't think even some of the organizations that provide these services see them as valuable as they are. I think if they did, they would be shouting more for government to spend more money on this. I know there's a few campaigns going around about rights to rehab and all of this, but we've kind of touched on this before. Remember we had the conversation about people who, for example, had a stroke and then they would go to rehabilitation services and they would get retrained in how to speak and how to
walk again, all of that.
It's seen as a fundamental need, you know, an absolute right to get that. And it absolutely is. But I think with blind people, some of us are left behind on this, and I don't know why. It's almost as if, we'll get to you. Yeah, we'll put you on a list and we'll get to you eventually. And it's like, hang on a minute. This is this person's independence. This is the ability for someone to get out of the front door, to go somewhere. It's as simple as this. You know, put a blindfold on and try doing it yourself. And I bet you'll get nowhere fast. But as CC says, if you've got the skills, you can.
It makes a difference. Yeah. And it's
a really
different,
good point, CC.
It's different in every, we got a phrase over in the UK, a postcode lottery, right? Mm. And you can get a different experience from different hospitals. How many of us have, you know, gone to the eye clinic appointment and come out of there almost in tears with nothing else we can do and it is what it is and whatever it is. And yet you're very rarely given any resources at that point, where to go next. And you're absolutely right. Yeah.
When I was 14, I was told by the doctor, I don't think it was the doctor, I was told by someone at the eye hospital, okay, well, that's you discharged now. Now, I used to go to the eye hospital nearly every week or every month, and I didn't have any idea what discharged meant as a kid. I was like, what does that mean?
You're banished.
Said, well, basically, that's it. I thought something had happened. I thought I'd made a mistake. I'd done something wrong. And so it was like I was being told off or, you know, don't come back. And they said, no, it's just that we can't do any more for you. And I said, okay. Oof. And then I said, do you think I'll ever be able to drive? I'm 14 years old, right?
Yeah.
Do you think I'll ever be able to drive? And the guy just laughed in my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was my last memory of that eye hospital. And I thought, I never want to go back there. Never want to go back. It didn't want to make me ever go near an eye hospital again. Because I just thought, you know, what a horrible setup, you know, to talk to people like that, to even just, not, I mean, just for a second. I mean, I know doctors have and especially consultants and clinicians and those kind of people that, you know,
they need a distance, higher ups. Professional distance.
And yeah, I do get that. I do understand that. But, you know, they are human beings first.
Yeah.
You know, can't they realize what's going on? But anyway,
let's leave that one there.
Yeah.
We could go off on a rant.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Up next, we're going to get more of your emails, more of your voicemails as well. Stick around. It's Double Tap.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback at doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us, feedback@doubletaponair.com.
So after a busy couple of days, we're getting back into your emails and voicemails. We're going to continue now with an email from Pete.
Hi all. I was interested to listen today while you were discussing mobility assistance, such as Lumen. I've tried a few of these, such as Sunuband, and something which is very much like the Miniguide, but a little cheaper. And possibly not quite as good, but I can't compare. I forget its name, but it's available from Computer Room Services and it was around £170. It has its place, and I have used it sometimes to find out if a lift door is opening, and even sometimes a bus door. I have found, however, that with all of that, they are a little slow to respond. The Sunu was the best I've tried, but it took some getting used to, and it was pretty easy to miss a warning until it was pretty intense. My sonic torchlight thing can provide audio, as can, I believe, the Miniguide. I don't, however, want a cable that gets yanked out of my ear all the time for this, and Bluetooth is taken, I'm afraid, by my phone running Voice Vista, or my go-to in areas I need quick and accurate guidance. Which app, I hear you say. Super LiDAR. It's free, sadly only available for iPhone Pro phones, but it has rarely let me down, other than it doesn't stop the screen going to lock. Super LiDAR gives you audio feedback as you get closer to something. You get the choice for pulsed sound or constant tone. You also get the choice of high-pitched descending as you near an obstacle or the other way, default. I actually prefer the high tone, which, although a little annoying, is much quicker to identify changes in the tone when compared to a nearly inaudible tone, which increases. I'd accept that my setting, pulsed audio, may bug the hell out of everyone else. As an added bonus, the app will tell you if it detects people, doors and windows. It comes from COVID time, so we'll say if they are wearing masks. I'm not sure if it's been updated, but it has not disappeared from my phone. It's quick and has saved me many times from walking into the back of a van with its doors open or where my cane would slide under the back and not hit anything until I did. Downsides, it's a battery muncher. You do also have to be waving your phone around in public. Fine in nice gentle Guernsey, but perhaps not so great in central London. I really want one of these devices to be viable. Biped sounds the best I've heard of to date, but Lumen also sounds promising. Please, people, remember some of us live in places like Britain, where devices need to be waterproof. I lost a couple of Sunu bands to the wonderful British weather, and I don't use my Miniguide alike if it's wet. I understand that the WeWalk can't be used in the wet, which I'm afraid is as much use to me as a cane made out of cardboard. I would have said biscuit, but it would never see any use. I'd like to see something unobtrusive, fast to respond, waterproof, and most importantly, affordable. I don't need it to give me turn-by-turn directions or require an app, but I do need it to be affordable and one-off rather than subscription-based. If extra functionality can be gained by an app, fine, but I'd rather pay per upgrade, even if that's a bigger hit at one time. I can then decide if I want to pay for the additional benefit or not. For me, the Holy Grail is a pair of bone conduction headphones with a camera and LiDAR which can warn you about relevant obstructions, biped-like, and perhaps tell you about doors and some other items. Perhaps on-device OCR, but again, I don't need the thing to tell me about the world. That's too much blabbering in my head. If I really need a better description, I can take out my phone and use Be My AI. Sorry, longer than I planned, but hopefully others might agree that this is, when it all comes down to it, what we want. You will never replace canes or dogs because, if nothing else, they tell people we can't see, and mostly that gets us some benefit or an excuse if we do hit someone or something. Thanks, as always, for a great show. Best wishes, Pete.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there, Pete. That is it. We're kind of battling about, and this is what I mean about these companies that talk about the cane and the dog. It's kind of missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we need is that extra information. And you say that, as you said earlier, the last 10 yards problem. And like I said, I think the phone is the answer. I think it's, and I just checked, by the way, here in the UK anyway, on the App Store, that app is available, Super LiDAR, LiDAR for Blind, that's what it's called, and it's free.
Now, from what I remember, that's from the same people who brought us Super Sense. And I remember it being released, and I thought, oh, I'd love to try that. But at that time, I didn't have a phone with a LiDAR sensor. Now I have, and I totally forgot about that. So I am going to download it and try that out. That sounds really cool.
Yep, you're absolutely right. They've also got a text-to-speech reader app as well. They've got Super Sense. And there's one called Mind Studio. Think in space. That's not for me.
No thinking
generally is bad for me. So, I think, what a good idea to change my office around and move things, and nothing works. So, yeah, stop thinking, I see.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I really like the sound of sonar glasses, except everyone I talk to who's tried these out just say, yeah, they're okay. I just think the technology's there. I just don't think the implementation's been done correctly yet.
Mm. It's interesting. We heard about ARX Vision. With their new headset, which is exactly that. It's a camera. It has the bone conduction headphones, but it doesn't have LiDAR, to my knowledge. I don't think it does.
Yeah.
It might use the cameras to detect distance, but it wouldn't be using LiDAR.
No, right, okay. No LiDAR, no sonar, so purely cameras. I just feel like sonar could be just all you need. Like the email said there, it's just too much information sometimes, right? Sometimes you just want to know, is there an obstacle in front of me? And when we were talking, who were we talking to about this, about the sonar glasses in the 70s? And they had the stereo effect, and he was able to navigate around poles and everything because of the stereo effect. If something was on the left or right and center, almost like 3D spatial audio, like your Voice Vista or Soundscapes, but using sonar. I just feel there is, I don't know, I feel there's a missed opportunity there. Don't think it's been done correctly yet.
And then you've got so many different apps that give you so much information. You may want a GPS app running as well. But, you know, at this point, you're going to have to carry around about 3 or 4 external batteries to keep your phone going.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, and a fire extinguisher to put the phone out when it bursts into flames for trying to do all this at once. Okay, thank you for that, though, Pete. Certainly food for thought, and I'm totally in agreement with you on that. Chris got in touch with us about health data from Siri.
Hi, Stephen and Sean. Stephen said that by now, Siri should be able to tell us things like how many steps we've done today, how many stairs we've done, our heart rate, etc. Well, Tim Cook must have been listening, because as of iOS 17, Siri can do exactly this. Now, before Siri will actually do this, there is a setting that you have to make sure is turned on. Go to Settings, swipe down to Health. Now, under Data heading, choose Data Access and Devices. Now, swipe down and choose Siri. You will find a toggle switch that says Access Health Data. Make sure this is turned on. Now, you can not only ask Siri about current things, but also about past things. Here are some examples. How many steps have I done today? How many steps did I do yesterday? How many steps did I do on March the 1st? How many steps have I done this week, this month? You can also do the same thing with climbing stairs. How many stairs have I climbed today? How many stairs have I climbed yesterday, this week, this month, on March the 1st, etc.? Now, if you have an Apple Watch, you can do the same thing with your heart rate and blood oxygen. Not only can you find out your current heart rate, but you can get information regarding a period of time. For example, I like looking at my heart rate while I am sleeping. So I can just say, what was my heart rate between midnight and 6 a.m.? It will come back and tell me the lowest heart rate, highest heart rate, and the average during that time. Now, if you just want your current information, then that is just fine. Just say current heart rate, current blood oxygen. Of course, blood oxygen is only available on older watches. I agree with Stephen, about time. I love these features, being able to get this information without having to open an app and dig through information until you find what you are looking for. Mm-hmm. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Chris from New York.
Thank you, Chris. You tried this, didn't you, Sean?
I have, yes. And I actually looked at the Apple support article on this, and you're absolutely right. It mentions those commands that you can give. And it also says that this is available since 17.2, iOS 17.2, and also available on the Apple Watch 9 and Ultra. So I did turn that setting on, and it still doesn't work for me. And I don't know why that is. Actually, I can show you. Wait, I'll show you what it says. Hang on. Oh, live demo. Wait.
Live demo?
How many steps have I taken today?
Sorry, I can't help with that. You can learn more about logging your health data with Siri at apple.com.
So it doesn't work at all on mine. And I've made sure the settings are there. I've gone through the support article. So I don't know if it's just available in some countries in the world, although it doesn't say that in the article. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd be very interested to hear if anyone else has managed to get this to work.
I wonder if you changed your language to American. Would it work then?
That seems very, very strange. But hey, I'm willing to give anything a go. Yeah, I've been through all the the health settings, and I can't find anything there why it shouldn't work. But thank you anyway for the tip.
Chris, thank you for that. Sounds like really useful information for some. Hopefully it's something that's going to roll out to everyone else. Now, Craig has an issue about caller ID on the Apple Watch. This is something I think we're going to reach out to you, dear listener, to get the answer to, because we can't figure this one out.
Hi, I listened to the podcast on the horrible weather days in the west coast of Scotland. It's raining again. Anyhow, hope you might be able to help. I have a Watch SE as well as an iPhone SE, both up-to-date models. However, my issue is if I receive a call, obviously the phone rings and watch vibrates. However, the watch also announces caller ID. I've been in touch with Apple on many occasions, but apparently that's the way it works. The only way I can switch this is to switch off voiceover. Then it's a useless watch. Do any of you or other listeners have a suggestion to resolve this? Thanks, Craig Happel.
Yeah, well, like I say, Craig, we've been looking into this one for you. We cannot find a solution that stops it announcing, unless you mute the speech, which is an option, so it doesn't turn off voiceover entirely. But obviously then you would still have to turn speech back on. So that's one way of doing it, I suppose, but it's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal. It's not. And when you're expecting a call to come in, you'd still hear it.
Yeah, you don't know,
right? It doesn't say it once. It says the name three times, at least on mine. And I think
yeah, it's
on
just
yours.
Like Sean Brees.
Yes, that's right. We've been through the settings in the Watch app and in the settings app on the iPhone itself. Been through the phone settings, can't find anything there. Notification settings, and even had a look in the accessibility settings. And I can find nothing that has any effect on caller ID being announced on the Apple Watch. So I'm stumped on this one.
Get in touch. Let us know what you think. If you figured this out, then let us know. We'll let Craig know. Craig, thanks for the message, and hope it stops raining soon. Oh, hang on, you live in Scotland. It will never happen. Sorry. Okay, Greg's been in touch.
Sean mentioned the Amazon Music iOS app, which is getting worse and worse for voiceover users and is now essentially unusable. I've called the Amazon Disability Support phone several times regarding this app and have been sent to the digital services team each time. They have told me on more than one occasion that I'm the only one they have a record of who has contacted them regarding lack of accessibility for voiceover users, and therefore it remains a low priority for their development team. In other words, as the squeaky wheel gets the grease, if we want Amazon to fix accessibility on this app for us, more blind people have to let them know we want it. Sean, simply switching to Apple Music without complaining to Amazon may work for you, but it doesn't move the ball down the field for the community at all, if you excuse the American football expression. I personally believe it is important to be a bit of an activist every time we encounter such a barrier. A bit of noisy feedback might just be the straw that breaks through the inertia and make a bit of difference for everyone. I know Stephen frequently says he doesn't want to be an advocate because he gets tired of it. Well, everyone gets tired and frustrated, but remember, you have a platform that gives you a louder voice than most of us have. Why not use it and use it wisely? Greg, surprisingly still alive in Pennsylvania.
Wow! The tone of today's show.
I know, we're all amazed to still be alive. That's the absolute bar we're at. I want to say I'm not an advocate. I'm just not. I'm not an advocate. I know people like to put this on me. It's every time I do an interview, a podcast or a newspaper or whatever it is, they'll often say, so what's it like to be an advocate for blind people? And I'm like, no, I'm not an advocate for anybody. I'm not an advocate for myself. I just do this show. So I'm just saying.
Okay, fair enough. And I want to say that I'm really disappointed to hear that the Amazon Music app is still having issues. It was absolutely terrible the last time I tried it, which was months and months and months ago. But I also want to say this, that when the accessibility team tell you that, wow, we've never heard this before, you're the only one who's ever reported this, I'll be brutally honest with you, I don't believe them. Now, I've spoken to Amazon accessibility team, not regarding this at the time, but regarding a audio description issue on a Prime Video. And I did mention the Amazon Music app after that, and likewise was told we've never heard that before. So, you know what? Any customer service or anything that say, I've never had that reported, I simply don't believe them. And maybe that's harsh, but that's my experience. And I just don't believe it at this point.
Okay. Thank you for that, Greg. Always good to hear from you. Also, we got a message from Biggles, who left us this voicemail.
Hello, it's Biggles here. Quick thought about the Envision glasses you talked about today. What happens with the battery? Some of the stock must be pretty old by now, 4 or 5 years. Do the batteries die? I mean, as soon as you get them, what's going to happen with them? I think it's pretty unfair to sell old stock with a possibility of the battery dying within a month or so or 2 months of you receiving the product. Let me know what you think. Alexa, end call.
Yeah, and that's a good reminder just as he ends that call there. You can call us via Lady A. Just ask Lady A to call the number, 1-877-803-4567. You don't even need to use your phone and listen to the audio quality there. Wow. That's a decent echo Biggles has got.
We're living in the future. Technology, who knew?
Yeah.
That's an excellent point, actually. I mean, it does depend how these devices have been stored and everything. I'm assuming they're stored in perfect conditions. But is there a natural decay in battery life just over the time period of a few years? I think there is, right? But
well, there will be. But I think it does not depend on when the battery started to be used.
Exactly.
I don't know how this works. But I know that so far, from my own experience and from other people who I talk to, they don't seem to have noticed any degradation, and they've had their device for some time. So I don't know. I think Google have done quite well with these glasses, actually. And there are still, to some degree anyway, a level of support options available. Even though they're discontinued, there's enough, this is according to Envision, there's enough stock available to be able to manage any challenges. So
cool.
They've obviously thought this through.
Of course, it's the charging cycles that really harm the battery life. And as you said, if the battery hasn't been used before, natural degradation, I expect it's not going to be anything particularly noticeable. So it wouldn't concern me too much, but it's a good point to bring up.
Rebecca gets in touch on the subject of window spots on Apple VoiceOver.
Hi, Sean and Stephen. I just wanted to say that I'm a Mac user with VO, and I found your segment about window spots extremely helpful. And it has made navigating my Mac so much easier. Thank you for all that you do. Kind regards, Rebecca Gray in New Zealand.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good to hear from you. And I'm glad that worked. Yeah, I've got to say, window spots have changed it all for me. I mean, I know a lot of people are not happy with the Mac at the minute, and the accessibility on Mac especially seems to be feeling a little bit degraded or unloved at the moment. I think it's fair to say, but, there's clearly some work going on. I mean, I think Apple have a lot of problems at the moment. That 14.4 update for macOS Sonoma was a dreadful update, and it caused a lot of problems. There's now, incidentally, a 14.4.1 update, which you absolutely must install. I know we often say, don't install the updates right away. On this occasion, get this one installed. I promise you it will make a difference. All my USB issues have stopped. The audio is behaving itself again. So, yeah, whatever issue there was seems to have been resolved, thank goodness. But in terms of VoiceOver, window spots are fairly new. I mean, they're not new in a sense, they've been around for a while, but they seem to have been redesigned.
And rebranded.
Web spots seems to have, web spots have disappeared almost entirely. So,
such a great
I'm
idea.
I'm so glad
though.
They've done this.
I love this idea, and I really wish that I could use something similar. There's something called place markers for NVDA, which you can set, little spots on websites and apps where to jump to. But it's not the same. It's not as well implemented as it is on there. And as you said, Stephen, Windows changed your life. I agree.
Yes, absolutely. I think I never said that. Okay. Listen, we're hearing from a lot of new people today, which is wonderful. I love this. So hello to you if you're just joining us for the first time, or perhaps you've been listening to us for a while and you've just decided to get in touch. That's exactly what Claudia's done.
Hey, guys. My name is Claudia, and I'm from Tampa, Florida. First and foremost, thank you for all that you do. I love your show. I'm a pretty new at listening, but I'm really enjoying it so far, and I have started to sort of catch up on the new YouTube channel. I'm still a little bit behind, but I'm getting there. First and foremost, I'm sorry, Stephen Scott, but I disagree with you, sir. Because I will tell you that when Apple comes out with a Meta Ray-Ban style type of smart glasses, I'm going to be one of the first to order them, because I'm definitely looking forward to a product like this. I think I would agree with Sean that it's important that we are allowed and able to use any products that come out, and at least that they have some accessibility features. And, you know, I think it is a bit scary to start going into the territory of, oh, should this product even be made accessible, or should they just get a pass and just continue making what they think can be accessible, if that makes any sense. Yeah, I would agree with Sean on that too, that it could be the form factor. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of the big scuba mask looking headset type form factor.
No, so not.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I would definitely be getting, hopefully, a pair of those glasses if they come out soon. Thanks, and take care.
Thank you very much. Claudia, lovely to meet you. So glad that you're with us, and glad you're enjoying the show.
So far.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks, Claudia.
Just to give people a bit of a background to this, so this was a YouTube video we did where I was talking about essentially suggesting that with Vision Pro, it's not really a device for blind people. I know blind people can use it. Obviously, it has a lot of accessibility tools in there. But is this something we would actually go out and spend our money on? And I'm not convinced we would. So I was making the case, would it make more sense? Because we all know that the Apple accessibility team is nowhere near as big as the people who are working on AI and machine learning, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't we use those resources wisely and instead maybe not focus as much on having, I mean, almost asking the question,
how
would it be okay for Apple
you?
Not to make the Vision Pro as accessible as it is?
No.
For blind people?
No, it
obviously
wouldn't.
For lots of other disabilities
no.
and conditions, yes.
No.
For low vision people, yes.
No.
But for blind people? I was waiting for you to say no.
I just thought why I said no
to
you
in that trap. Yeah. But I think that would make more sense. So anyway, that was my take on the video. So that's what Claudia is referring to there. I stand by what I said. I think that would be...
Accessibility was a waste of time, is what you're saying in that product. Okay, that's interesting.
Well,
feedback
for blind
at doubletaponair.com.
Yes.
Let us know what you think.
For blind people, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
As for the point, though, just to say on the point you made, Claudia, about the device and blind people buying them. Now, I think you're right. I think if Apple come out with a pair of sunglasses like the Meta Ray-Bans, I think you're absolutely right. I think we'd all be jumping on that.
Yes.
It's the form factor is the problem for me as well. That is a real issue for me at the moment. If they came out, and I still believe to this day that Apple didn't really want to put out Vision Pro as it is. I think they would have much rather developed something that was more like the Ray-Bans, but I think that would have been so many years off that, you know, would another product come along and take over by that time? You know,
is it just a tech demo, if you will? Hey, we know everyone wants VR, but look, because everyone's blown away by it, right? It's funny, you watch any review or read any review out there, everyone's blown away by the technology, the screens and the cameras, absolutely amazing. But so many of those reviews end with, of course, I'm not going to keep it, or I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
Because of the form factor, because of, you know, what other issues are there. But it does keep people very interested in what's coming next. And maybe that's enough for Apple.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. I don't know. We'll see on that one. But Claudia, lovely to make your acquaintance. Thank you so much. Camille got in touch following our interview with Zach Tidwell. You might remember Zach, who is the developer of the Xanagrams app.
Oh, yeah.
Camille wants to tell us his thoughts on Zach and also the app.
Great interview with Zach Tidwell. I first heard his story on the Eyes on Success podcast last summer. Being a fan of word games, I downloaded the game and have been playing it since. I do not consider myself a genius, but have completed many of the puzzles with a perfect score. A perfect score is zero. Like golf, you strive to achieve a low score. So, all you fans of word games out there listening to this, get on that internet thing and download the Xanagram game. On a different note, thanks Sean for the latest Shaun of the Shed podcast. I did not realise that there were fingerprint readers available for Windows. Happy tapping, and thanks again to Miss Kay for reading the emails. Camille.
There you go.
Hooray! Yes, someone actually got in touch with me asking for more details on the fingerprint scanner for Windows. Very cheap and it's just so easy to set up, totally accessible. Yeah, I love it. I've actually lost it. I've lost it in Vienna. I took it through security with me for some reason. I don't know why. I can't find it since. But I'm getting another one.
You took a fingerprint reader to Vienna with you?
It was in my pocket. He said, "What's that?" So, actually, I don't know. Oh no, it's a fingerprint scanner. I don't know why. But thank you very much.
And it has been disposed of by the Vienna army, I would imagine, by this stage.
I agree as well. Xanagrams, excellent thing. I've been playing that game for the longest time. I'm not as good as you, but it's great fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to just play those kind of games. I saw someone the other day on GitHub, they've developed this accessible hangman game. I have been looking for this for so long.
Hangman? Oh, come on.
I loved Hangman. Loved it. Anyway, we're out of time. Thank you so much, as always, for your wonderful emails. We'll get into more of those tomorrow. And we'll catch you then. Keep in touch. Feedback at doubletaponair.com. 1-877-803-4567. We'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks, Sean. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Joita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.